So yeah, welcome everybody. Today we are having our celebration of children and young people. And we've got lots of young people in our family, but also in the wider community and in our personal families as well. We're going to start. Oh, I'm going to start by setting a challenge so I don't forget later. So if you would like to, during the there's a couple of different talks and some different things going on, you have a challenge to either draw or make using whatever materials you want, models of fruit or drawings of fruit. So if you would like to join in with that, then get your felts or your Play-Doh or your Lego and have a go at that during the talks. But to start with, we're going to start with a reading. And this reading has been done by Daniel and Pedro, who've recorded this for us. So we'll listen to that. I'm going to mute you all so you can hear them nice and clearly.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and he let them know it.
Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in.
Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them.
Okay, thank you, boys. Good. Okay. Well, that's probably, that was the message version of the Bible reading, but I'm sure it's quite familiar to a lot of you. Often people think that children are for the future of society, a part of society that we invest in now, and maybe they'll add value or contribute later when they're older. This is true, of course, but it's not the whole story. And that reading that Daniel and Pedro just shared with us was Jesus pointing out to the adults that we actually need to learn from the children. And in this case, Jesus's point was that we'll miss out on the kingdom of God if we don't. So let's have a think about what do our children or what can our children teach us adults? What is it that they've got to offer us? Well, I'm sure I'm not the only person that realizes we've got very clever children and young people in our church family. In fact, if we were to look at all their talents and gifts, we would be here all day, not just for the next hour. So we can't really go into a lot of detail about all the different things that our under 18s can do. But let's have a look at maybe one each and see what our young people and our children could possibly teach us. So let's start with Lydia. Now, Lydia is a very bright young thing. I'm sure you're all aware. She's doing very impressive, particularly maths work and homeschooling. I wonder if Lydia has got anything that she could teach perhaps Rowan or David Tate in their jobs as accountants. Oh. What about Tegan? When we're not in lockdown, she's dancing on ice. And some of you might not know that Morgan has already passed her BTEC dance as well, and with merit. And even though these two girls are very skillful, I wonder when it comes to scheduling their rehearsals and organising costumes, dealing with their nerves, all the other things that go with the performance, I wonder if Steve's many, many years with Generate could possibly be quite instructional for them. And while we're on the Wyatts, I hear that Alfie is doing quite well and doing very well on his uniform services course. He's been there 4 or 5 months now doing his studying. If he was to sit down with Bill, with all his long and interesting police career behind him, or perhaps Clarence, who's actually doing his national service now. I wonder who would be doing the teaching there. Now, you just saw Pedro reading with Daniel there. And if you've ever seen him on Supernovas, you will see that he's great at teaching and nurturing João when it comes to the quizzes and the crafts and generally encouraging him. As awesome as he is at that, I suspect he may not have many teaching tips for his mum or for Cheryl in their virtual classrooms. Now, we've all heard Charlie's insights and his knowledge about science and trains and all sorts of things. He's like a walking encyclopedia. But it does seem that maybe sometimes Rob might have the edge on him when it comes to some of the technical details. Now, I've been lucky enough to see James and Joshua's one of their stop motion animations. I can tell you it was awesome, very, very creative. It must have taken a very long time to make. But I wonder if the boys could teach Leon anything. And for those of you who don't know, Leon's away doing a degree in filmmaking and media. So quite experienced now, I'm sure. Naomi, another creative one among us. You might have seen her Winnie the Pooh FIMO models, her drawings. And do you remember that Mallory Towers birthday cake? It would be very interesting, wouldn't it, to get Naomi in a room with Val to talk arts and crafts, or with Sian to talk about cake decorations. Daniel and Matthew, they have a few music certificates between them, sung in a few concerts, but perhaps not quite in the same league as Nick, with how many years of gigging behind him? And I'm very proud of Adam. Last year, for his EP, part of his A-levels, he taught himself C++ and developed a series of computer games. But even having done that, I'm not sure he could teach Conrad or Robin anything about software testing or documenting code. Still lots to learn, I think. So even though our children and our teens have achieved lots and lots of different things and many, many more things, and it's one thing I've chosen for each of them to talk about today, I don't think it was these kinds of skills or these successes or these hobbies that they excel at. This wasn't what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about children teaching adults something. Because what he was leading to was that if we didn't learn from the children, we'd miss out on the kingdom of God. So that's something different. So let's have a think about what it was the children can teach us when it comes to this idea of the kingdom of God. And what was it that was so special and that's worth celebrating today? Jesus was saying that we should simply accept the kingdom of God like a child accepts things, to be like a child when it comes to God's love, to have a childlike view of the gospel. Perhaps as adults, we overcomplicate things. We overanalyze them. Is this what Jesus was warning against? I watched a film recently called Instant Family. You may have seen it. If not, it's a comedy. It's about a couple. They adopt three siblings, two younger ones and a teenager. And there's a scene on the first night when they're all living together. It's been a hilarious evening with the whole bedtime room and a lot of water involved with baths and things. And they finally get to the point of the evening where they say goodnight to the two young children, turn the light off, walk out the room. But then the adults stand outside the room discussing, should they have kissed the children? Should they go back in and say goodnight and give the children a kiss? You can imagine, can't you? It's a bit awkward. It's the first night together as a family. They don't really know them, but they want to show them they care. And it's all very, a little bit stressful and a bit awkward. And there's a pause after the adults have been talking. And the youngest child, who's lying in bed, the other side of the door, has heard it all and calls out from her bed, "You're overthinking this." She just wants a kiss. It's straightforward. And I wonder if Jesus was here today, that's what he'd say. The adults, you're overthinking the whole faith and love and Christianity and God and who he is and what it means. We just need to stop and accept the kingdom like a child. Open our arms to God to receive his love like a child does. Just embrace the gospel message like a child does when they throw themselves into a new adventure. There's no holding back. What about seeing God's creation like a child? When a child finds a shell or a worm or discovers ants and just sees the world through their kind of eyes, and the whole innocence of how children love and look at the world. But Jesus wasn't saying be childish. He was just saying, let's not make things too complicated. And if we lived like that, a less complicated, more childlike way, how much richer our lives could be. And we'll perhaps explore that again in a minute. But for now, we're going to have the reading first because we can't really move on without the reading. We're going to have our second reading, which comes from James and Joshua, which that's also videoed, and David's going to share it with us now. So sit back and enjoy the second.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these kinds of things.
Didn't they do well? Yes. Thank you, boys. Excellent reading. So now we'll carry on and we'll think about what James and Joshua have just told us in light of what Daniel and Pedro told us earlier as well. So the reading that James and Joshua have just read helps us to understand what happens when we live a godly life, and that the Holy Spirit is working with us, how the kingdom of God then flourishes and produces this fruit that the boys listed. Jesus was suggesting that perhaps when we live a Christian life, the benefits of that, maybe we may gain benefits by listening to the children who were being shooed away. So this simple childlike living along with the Holy Spirit produces an orchard in our lives that's full of these amazing fruits. And perhaps these fruits are what comes in the context of not overthinking it. Okay, so what I'd like to do is look at some of the fruits, not all of them. We haven't got time to look at all of them. But look at some of the fruits and think about what that means to live in a childlike way and how our lives might be. So the first one was love. Now, when we're young, young children have this capacity to love in this all-consuming way. They don't really have the fear, or they don't hold back. They're exuberant and they love unconditionally, and they're not encumbered by the normal social conventions. You see them, you know, hugging strangers in supermarkets and all things like this, because they just love the way it is within them. And when you love like this, it's in a space where love hasn't been tainted because you haven't had lies told you, or your trust hasn't been undermined, hurt hasn't chipped away at love. So it's a real pure thing. Now, in our house, we have these kind of expressions of love often between a teenager and a dog, because they're uncomplicated by hormones, and the love is returned without that nagging or that backdrop of nagging about revision or helping with the washing up or whatever it is. So this childlike dog hugging love is whole and it's pure. This is probably the closest we get to the perfect kind of agape love that God has to offer. That's a love that we don't deserve, but we cannot resist, and we are just urged to compel to return the love as well. It's unstoppable. And of course, it drives us as well to love other people around us. And that's the kind of love that God's offering. And we may get a glimpse of that in this childlike love as well. God's love fills all of time and space. There's no cracks. There's no reticence or limits or holding back either. So I just wonder where we are when it comes to feeling God's all-consuming, dog-hugging, exuberant love, like I see in my teenagers. Our next fruit is joy. Now, last Sunday was rather disappointing, but last Saturday we had quite a short and impressive snowfall around here. I'm talking about people who are in Cambridge. Other people were blessed on Sunday as well. For a short time in our house, and from the conversations we had before, I think in other houses too, there was a period where people were caught up, children, teenagers, perhaps some young at heart adults as well, were caught up in the pure joy and the delight of the anticipation and then the enjoyment of playing in the snow. And for a period of time, that joy can be all encompassing, totally fulfilling. The snow fills all of your experience and it's pure delight. Now, in the Bible, the joy and the delight and the gladness that are used to describe this particular fruit, it's talking about the feeling when you realize that God's love and grace and favor is in our lives. And the realization, the joy that comes from realizing there was nothing we did to earn that and nothing we can do to lose it. So that joy, it's not just an exhilarating, snowy kind of joy, but it's also for the slush and the later times as well, because God's love is just there in everything we do, for the good and for the bad times. The joy is the fact that God's in it with us. And I wonder, do we experience the delight and the joy, that real snowy day thrill like a child when we realize that God loves us? Can we relate to that in our love with God? Peace is another fruit. Now, peace, it's all about being safe and secure. It's mental and it's physical. And for me, that should be the absolute definition of childhood, safe and secure physically and mentally. And I don't know what your childhoods were like, but I can remember being maybe 12 or 13 when you're old enough to go out on your own. I had a sibling, so we could go out together. We'd jump on our bikes. We'd either go down to the river for the day. This is in the summer holidays. Or we'd go down and play with a group of friends. We'd climb trees. They'd be TIE fighters. You know, your imagination would be away with you. And for the great part of the summer, we would all play together in harmony. We were safe. We were free of worries. Everything was at peace. Now, when the Holy Spirit's at work in our hearts and minds, it's that childlike experience of being in harmony, but it's with God this time rather than being in harmony with your playmates and all wanting to play the same games and getting along and the sun is shining. But this is the harmony with God. So our hearts and minds are at peace because we're actually pulling in the same direction as God. And we're free from the worries and the fears about things like finances, jobs, the practical things that are going on, because God is working with us to do these things, or we're working with God to do these things. And even things like salvation and eternal life, we can be at peace about those because we're in sync with God. And of course, biblical peace, it's not just for those summer days. It's for the dark, cold days of winter too. So where are we when it comes to being in harmony with God and that hazy childhood days of summer kind of peace? Is that something we can relate to? Patience. Patience can be more easily demonstrated in children because they haven't really had the opportunity to think that failure, well, they think that failure is an opportunity to do something better. Rather than as we get older, failure often becomes something that is criticised or we can be condemned for. And that's something we learn as we get older. I watched a little series of psychological tests where an adult continued to spill drink, then spill some cereal, then knocked a box or something over. And they looked at toddlers' reactions. And what was interesting, and actually I find personally challenging, is that the toddlers would look to fix the situations, offer help and encouragement, try that again, let's clear up the mess and we'll try carrying it again more safely or carefully or take your time or use two hands, which was different to perhaps what our adult reaction might be to continually spilling things. The Holy Spirit empowers us to withstand these kind of challenges that we couldn't naturally handle on our own. Things like being locked down in your house, homeschooling, looking at the same four walls 24/7. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can receive this childlike perseverance and the endurance to carry on facing the same difficulties and the same repeated problems and that slowness to be angry or frustrated with us. So what are each of our personal prayers for that repeated milk spilling childlike perseverance or endurance and patience? Let's look at one more fruit, kindness. Before children are taught any judgment, they show kindness without a consideration of how similar or different we are as people. I don't know what age it is that we start taking into account someone's appearance, their political thoughts, their education, or whatever lifestyle choices or behavior that pushes our own particular buttons. When does that become important to show before you can show kindness? Or indeed, how old do we get before we realize that those things are not helpful and we need to stop doing them? The biblical kindness is also referred to as goodness or gentleness, and it comes from being a gentleman or a gentlewoman, behaving properly, having moral integrity, doing the right thing. With the Holy Spirit's help, moral integrity leads to this kind of kindness without the self-righteous judgment about who people are. So where do we need this Holy Spirit's help to become more gentlemanly or gentlewomanly? There are more fruits. There's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But we've probably explored a few of them enough to see where Jesus was coming from with his encouragement of how to live this simpler life, this childlike life, and experience these things in the way a child might experience them, all with the help of the Holy Spirit. So today we're here to celebrate our children and our young people in our church family, in our own families, in the wider community, and to thank God for the joy and the laughter they bring to our fellowship, for the things they teach us, for all the adventures and the challenges that lay before them. So we're going to have a little time of reflection now. We'll play some music and we'll watch some words and images. And as we do this, you can just take some time to pray for the children. Different names will come up on the presentation. You could consider the different things you might know that the children are facing, challenges, opportunities. You might want to recognize their gifts and talents. Just ask God to bless them over the coming year. Yeah, and there might be you might want to pause and think for yourself as well about what some of the things that children can teach each of us as part of this kind of experience as well. So we'll have a short time to reflect and be. Okay, let's have another song. Tegan, did you have something?
No.
Oh, I saw a little bit of paper in your. Just, I thought I might have missed you then. Let's have a song. This is a song. I don't know how many of the adults will know this. This is called My Lighthouse, and I do believe it may be one of James's favourite songs. Yeah. We've had it at Supernovas. I think it's really great. So that's the song we're going to have now, because this is all about the children and the young people today. So we'll sing together. I'll mute myself. Could you hear me? Well, if that song was new to you, I hope you liked it. And I hope that we might have that as part of our regular our regular list of songs that we might sing. Okay. We're going to finish with a blessing, which Tegan is going to read for us. So if you'd like to unmute yourself, Tegan. So I hope you do all have a very peaceful and fruitful week. And if you would like to hang around, we'll have our breakout groups and enjoy some just social time together. I hope you've had a nice morning. And if we don't see you in the breakout groups, then don't forget about the wellbeing course starting on Tuesday, and sign up with Jessica if you'd like to receive the PDF in advance.